produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, Pennsylvania man challenges home county to legalize. Charles E. Stiles Jr. said he has gathered 625 signatures in favor of a ballot initiative that would allow adults to grow and use cannabis in a Pennsylvania county. The Crawford County Elections Director declined to accept the petition, and on July 18th, Stiles sued. Pennsylvania election laws permit only a narrow range of referenda, but Stiles said his marijuana question falls under the wet-dry provision that allows municipalities to regulate alcohol. That argument was rejected, and Stiles' claim was referred to the county solicitor. Pennsylvania state statutes classify marijuana possession as a misdemeanor for quantities of less than 30 grams. Sentences can include probation, up to 30 days in jail, and a $500 fine. Penalties are steeper for larger quantities and for individuals who grow or sell pot. Marijuana also is regulated by the Federal Controlled Substances Act, which the Department of Justice has applied in recent years to challenge relaxed marijuana laws in Alaska, California, and Oregon. Stiles called Crawford County the right venue for launching a new challenge to restrictive marijuana laws. He's organizing a November 4th rally at Diamond Park in Meadville, Pennsylvania, and expects 1,000 people to attend. His ballot initiative simply declares cannabis possession and cultivation to be legal in Crawford County and suggests that district judges and the county treasurer could address specifics. Stiles said he favors a licensing program that would charge pot growers a per-plant fee. In his handwritten single-page lawsuit, Stiles asked the Crawford County Common Pleas Court to issue a mandamus order compelling the elections board to place the question on November's ballot. If Stiles succeeds, his quest would mark the second time Crawford County has provided ammunition to the foes of the drug war. In 1972, former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer, a one-time state senator and district attorney in Crawford County, headed a Nixon administration policy panel that backed marijuana decriminalization. Ballot initiatives regarding marijuana deprioritization and decriminalization issues, as well as medical access, have been approved in South Dakota and Santa Cruz, California, with signatures currently being gathered for initiatives in Colorado and in Portland, Oregon. Stiles is one of a growing number of activists and voters who favor new approaches to marijuana. Though smoking the plant remains a violation of federal law, the National Institutes of Health reported in 2004 that 14.6 million Americans use marijuana at least once a month. Also today from Santa Barbara, California, deprioritization initiative approved for November ballot. A ballot initiative to assign minor marijuana possession the lowest possible enforcement priority by Santa Barbara police will go before city voters in the upcoming November election. Supporters of the marijuana measure have collected more than enough signatures to qualify it for the ballot, but had hoped the city council would adopt the measure outright. Proponents of the measure, Sensible Santa Barbara, argue that the quote war on drugs, close quote, has been lost, is a waste of money, and that enforcement of marijuana laws clogs the jails and criminal justice system with petty offenders who pose little threat to anyone. Police Chief Cam Sanchez argued that the measure places his officers in a catch-22, in which they're not allowed to pursue criminal investigations triggered by marijuana possession complaints that could develop into something bigger. He also stated District Attorney Tom Snedden had told him the measure was unconstitutional and unenforceable. Proponents dismiss these concerns as exaggerations and fabrications. Police say marijuana possession is already a low-priority offense, first offenders getting $50 tickets, but insist such laws provide useful enforcement tools in dealing with drug dealers and others generating complaints from the community. The proposed measure would not protect recreational pot smokers who light up on public property or while driving a car. More information on these stories up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Hope everyone had a great midsummer weekend out there. We've assembled a wonderful stash of activism audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Just visit norml.org. First up today, an interview with the director of Drug Policy Alliance New Mexico, Rena Sapansky. The Normal podcast studios are located in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Rena and I had the chance to sit down in person this week. The news in 2005 should have been that New Mexico was going to allow patients legal access to marijuana. The Lynn Pearson and Aaron Armstrong Compassionate Use Act had the support of a vast majority of New Mexico state senators, and even Governor Bill Richardson voiced public support for the legislation. But today, patients still wait for legal access. Today, we'll hear about medical marijuana coming to New Mexico.
Okay, Rena, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Now, Drug Policy Alliance has worked hard to bring medical marijuana to the state of New Mexico, and it was originally the Lynn Pearson Compassionate Use Act. Tell us a little bit about the legislation as it stands. I know it changed names in 2005.
Yes, actually, this last session, Senator Jennings was so moved by another young cancer patient who's been advocating for medical marijuana in New Mexico. Her name is Erin Armstrong. And so the previous three versions of the bill have all been called the Lynn Pearson Compassionate Use Act in memory of the original Lynn Pearson Research Act that passed in 1978. But Senator Jennings introduced a floor amendment on the Senate floor to rename the bill the Lynn and Erin Compassionate Use Act because of Erin's really heartfelt testimony and advocacy.
And what would this Compassionate Use Act bring to the patients of New Mexico? You know, how does it compare to other states that have enacted laws?
Well, it's fairly comparable, actually, to the majority of laws in the other states that have legal access to medical marijuana. Basically establishes an ID card system where patients could obtain an ID card that would specify what amount they are allowed to possess. And that card would be issued by the Department of Health, who would maintain a registry. And the patients would basically be allowed to possess a 90-day supply of their medicine in various forms. And that form is going to depend on what their doctor recommends. The nice thing about this bill is it doesn't specify an amount because we feel that that should really be determined between a physician and a patient, or a medical provider and a patient. And this bill also allows nurse practitioners, physician's assistants to also recommend the use of medical marijuana in addition to physicians. So it's a little bit more expansive in some areas.
So I know a lot of states have built in certain conditions that you must have medically to qualify for the medical marijuana. Have we set those conditions here in New Mexico per se?
Yes, we have. Although we do allow a little bit, there's a little bit of a safety valve involved with that system. So the six conditions are cancer, glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, HIV and AIDS, epilepsy, and spinal cord injuries. But we also establish a petition process in the bill by which a patient who felt that they could benefit from medical marijuana marijuana with their medical provider could petition the Department of Health to add that condition or that symptom to the list of allowed medical conditions. And so we didn't want to have to go back to the legislature every year and sort of justify, well, now we need it for chronic pain or now we need it for nausea or something like that. We wanted to put that decision making ability in the hands of the medical professionals at the Department of Health.
Now, Governor Bill Richardson, a pretty high-profile Democrat, came out earlier this year in support of this, saying that if it at least got to his desk, he would sign it. And I know you've face-to-face lobbied a lot of the state legislature here. What kind of support is in New Mexico, and what kind of experience do a lot of these state legislators have with medical marijuana?
Well, you know, this is an issue that they have considered numerous times, five times since 2000. And so many of them have heard the arguments. We will have some new House members next January when the legislative session begins, but we're already beginning the process to educate them. And the governor has been wonderful. He's been really consistent in his support. During his campaign, he came out with a statement saying that people should have access to this medication, as well as last session and this session. He really basically said, pass the bill. Please, please pass the bill. And he's, you know, I think it's worth noting that he's the only primary candidate, possible primary candidate for the presidential election amongst the Democrats that has come out in full support of legal access to medical marijuana.
And, you know, is New Mexico perhaps an important state strategically here in the Southwest? You know, I know they've passed some sort of medical marijuana legislation in Nevada, and Colorado has come around a bit as well. So is it important for New Mexico to offer this where many of the states surrounding us already are?
Yes, I really think so. You know, one of the issues that I hear a lot is that many patients move from the state in order to obtain access to medical marijuana, particularly those that have chronic medical conditions that could benefit. And so we see people moving to Colorado, California, Nevada, a number of places. And I think that represents a serious loss for New Mexico, for economic development. And just for it's just really sad when family members have to leave because their state feels that they shouldn't be given compassion and mercy.
Now, we talked about the state legislators a bit, but I know that you've seen a lot of support from the different medical groups here in the state. And I also want to ask, you know, what kind of interaction have you had with law enforcement here in New Mexico, which they have a lot to deal with here. We're on the U.S.-Mexico border. There's a lot of different issues to deal with that. How have law enforcement sort of reacted to medical marijuana?
Well, you know, it's been interesting. I think the first session, 2005, that I worked in, law enforcement and district attorneys sort of left the bill alone. I think partly because they didn't think it was going to be successful. And we pretty much proved them wrong. And so this past legislative session, they have been pretty out in full force, lobbying against the bill during the legislative session. However, when you speak to individual law enforcement officials, they actually have a much more moderate point of view. And particularly some of the law enforcement in Santa Fe, in Albuquerque, also in some of the more rural areas of the state, I've had some really interesting conversations. Unfortunately, the Police Chiefs Association has voted to oppose the bill, Sheriff's Association, DA's Association, and so we have significant law enforcement opposition when you look at sort of in the Capitol halls. But I think when you go out into individual areas, they know that people are suffering, and they know they don't want to arrest people who are seriously ill. They don't want to have to bring someone in a wheelchair into jail when they are using this strictly for medical purposes. So I do think when the bill passes that they will understand that this is actually going to make their jobs a little bit easier because patients will have ID cards, and they're going to be able to make a distinction between someone who may be abusing marijuana, which is still unfortunately currently illegal in New Mexico, and someone who's using it for medical purposes. And they're not going to have to make that judgment call of like, oh, I really feel bad for this person. Do I really want to arrest them?
Now, you talk about the 2005 bill that you worked on. This was a success. You had legislative success, and then it got sent to the House Water Resources and Agriculture Committee. You know, tell us about that. When I was surprised to hear that it had never gone to that committee before. How did it end up in that committee after successfully going through the state legislature there?
Yeah, you know, in 2005, we were referred to House Consumer and Public Affairs and House Judiciary Committee. These are logical assignments for this bill. We've also been assigned in the past to business and industry, which, you know, possibly could have some relevance. We were really dumbfounded when we were assigned to agriculture and water resources. And still to this day, we really can't see exactly what the connection was. Interestingly enough, one of the committee members did state during that hearing that the bill had been sent there to kill it. The nice part is that the bill did not die there, and I think that a lot of folks maybe don't know what happened in those last couple days of the session. We did get an unfavorable vote out of that committee. They voted 4-3 to table the bill, basically trying to sort of end its success. But we were able to negotiate with the Speaker of the House and with others in the House and get the bill out of that committee, off the table, and into its next referral. We actually passed the House Judiciary Committee at 4:30 in the morning, the last night of the legislative session, and we only had 3 hours to get it to the House floor. So that was really what ended up killing the bill, is that 3 hours with a Republican filibuster happening at that time, there was no way that this bill was going to be heard, and actually a lot of other bills died that last morning as well. But that Agriculture and Water Resources Committee was the most emotional, heartbreaking hearing that I have ever been to. We had some amazing patient advocates testifying, heartbreaking stories. Even the people who were there to testify against the bill had tears in their eyes. It was that moving. And when they voted to table, there was this huge gasp in the audience. It was just shocking. But I'm proud that we didn't let it die there.
So it sounds like the New Mexico state legislature is trying. It's trying, as opposed to other state legislatures that are waiting for you to come to them. It sounds like the New Mexico state legislature is actually going the extra effort and really trying to meet us halfway here on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. This, you know, I think when we started out with this issue, there were a lot of concerns and a lot of old fears. But, you know, we passed the Senate 34-6 this year, and that's pretty remarkable. And I think, you know, those last six votes probably will never change their minds, but you never know. We had a couple who came in at the end who voted for it, and we really thought we would never be able to change their minds. So I think that they really understand what's at the heart of this issue, and they have really begun to let go of the fears and stereotypes around marijuana, and really understand that this is about patients' rights and this is about compassion for our sick and dying in New Mexico.
Rena Sapansky, Director of Drug Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Thanks for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you, Chris.
Links to the Drug Policy Alliance and their office in Santa Fe are up at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, some pod-safe music found up at podshow.com. This is a track from an artist by the name of Leadman. We played one of his tunes on the 4th of July holiday program.
Out from the black and into the blue. Oh well. Out from the cold and into view. Oh well. So who's got it bad and who's got it easy? Oh well. Who walks on shells and who toes the line? Oh well. If love can be sold, then love can be free. To be, to want, to know. And my love's a cage, lines and goes. Oh well. My American scream, it's as quiet as hell. My American scream, it's as quiet as hell. The American scream, it's as quiet as hell. Now she's got it bad, and he's got it easy.
Now who's got no walls and who puts them up? If nothing's for nothing and everything's for sale, oh well, you get what you want, but not what you need. Oh well, my American scream, it's as quiet as hell. My American scream, it's as quiet as hell.
That was Leadman, found up at podshow.com. We have links to him up at normalaudiostash.com. Now, folks, it's time to get active, and I mean get involved. Don't wait. You're in the best place for activism right now at this moment. You're in the World Wide Web. Today is the day you can become a digital activist. You're listening to a podcast from Normal, cutting-edge communications technology that makes it easy to stay informed. But the World Wide Web today represents the best venue to become an activist. When I first started in activism as a teenager, we used to sit for long hours at typewriters, cranking out letters to our elected officials, or better yet, sitting and dialing by hand over and over and over again on a telephone activism day to try and get through to the White House or the New Jersey legislature. But now, with a computer and an internet connection, you've got everything you need to reach out, get active today, and end marijuana prohibition. Check out out normalaudio-dot.com. We have links to the Take Action section of the normal.org website and links to specific sections within it, like the contact area for your local elected officials. You will often hear us say in the podcast, write or call your congressional rep or senator. So how do you do this? How do you find their numbers? Normal makes it really easy. And folks, your congressman or woman and the U.S. senators in this country have staff and interns. They all thrive on interaction from their constituency. Even the most hardened political observers know that emails and phone calls actually from the voters are something the biggest names, even the biggest names in American politics, actually respond to. Often the problem is that these elected officials just don't hear enough from us on an issue, and marijuana legalization is certainly one of those. So it's easy to find that contact information right up on Normal's website. Just go check it out. We have links at normalaudio-dot.com. Normal offers a variety of letter and email templates, as well as that absolutely comprehensive and complete list of contacts for your elected officials. If you are passionate about reform, get active right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to pull the typewriter out of the closet. Use the computer that you're listening to this podcast on right now. The tools are online. They're ready for you to use them. Again, we have all those links right up at normalaudio-dot.com. It's Activism Monday here on the Audio Stash. Make sure you get active. Be a digital activist. That we have up on the site, folks, and get involved right now today at the click of a mouse. The end to marijuana prohibition could be an email away. It could be you that has the articulation to make it through all the rhetoric to your local elected officials. Now we're going to round out our Monday stash today with some comedy from the Pot's Greatest Hits CD. We have links to buy it right up at normalaudio-dot.com. Remember, every single purchase, every single Pot's Greatest Hits CD is sold, helps out Normal.
This guy never rides the fence with his material, but he does ride the bus occasionally. From King of Queens, here's Patton Oswalt.
Is this for just to make all pot legal or for medicinal marijuana?
All?
Okay, no, that's good. I'm amazed that even the medicinal stuff hasn't gotten through, because that's the thing that we have the moral high ground on right there, is it helps people out. I just can't, I don't know why a bunch of aggressive, wealthy, focused conservatives have managed to crush a bunch of good-natured, disorganized, giggling fucking potheads who wake up at 2 in the afternoon and watch fucking cartoons in their bed. It's so weird. How did they do it? You know how I raise money for marijuana? Every year, I place bets on whether or not the conservatives will crush it once again. And I bet on the conservatives, and then I give that massive pile of cash to the fucking hippies, and they blow it on cat food and Xbox games and never have pot legalized. Unbelievable. I don't even smoke marijuana. It's all scotch and wine for me now. I don't, you know. But I think it should be legal because fucking cancer patients are a buzzkill, man. Those fucking nauseous, skinny AIDS and cancer patients. If they would let them fucking smoke pot and gain a little weight, I would drink even more scotch because I'd be happy. And then that money would go to Uncle Sam and circle of life. Come on. Fucking legalize it, for God's sakes. You know what marijuana needs? It needs a Sideways. It needs a fucking movie that makes marijuana seem like this romantic middle-aged thing that you would do, you know? A couple of lovable guys up in Humboldt County just with the fucking, you know, papers open and, I smell Jamaican loam, very loamy soil, kind of rainy. I smell, hang on, Well, that's some Wairika sunshine, definitely. That the edges are definitely were dried. Yeah, and I smell the poop sweat from the Mexican ass crack this stuff was smuggled in. Just a flutter. Just a flutter. All right, enjoy the rest of the show. Please legalize it.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Paula Armentano and Rena Sapansky for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
We welcome your feedback, questions, comments, and most importantly, your support. Contact us at Normal and the Normal Foundation, 1600 K Street, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 2006-2832, or email normal@normal.org.